Shani Tarragon, Echa, The Agony of Abandonment, July 31st, 2011.
Does anybody not have a source sheet?
In my stomach, tachka on Rosh Chodesh Av, again on Rosh Chodesh Elul, but particularly on Rosh Chodesh Av, not only because knowing, oh no, I have to start drinking water now for 9 days, but all the more so to know that these are the days that will determine whether or not we're going to be sitting 9 days from now on the floor reading, hearing Echa, or whether, as my husband spoke about, maybe we'll be zoche to learn Hilchotum and Tara together in the Chatzar of the Beit HaMikdash. And I was telling my husband and Rav Goldsmith on the way here that I'm determined, that I know this is the time that we're all not only involved in Sipiya Le'Geula and anticipation of Geula, but we have to do something to work on it. And that's why I said I'm going to try to devote some learning this year to learning Hilchot Tuma and Tara in depth, because what's going to happen in Hei Rav Yamina, and I mean this very shortly, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to hear about Yat HaGoel, and we're going to go up to Har HaBayit. We're going to have to change our kitchens around. We're going to have to construct some mikvot in our basements and backyards, and seeing that will be a little easier, apparently. But the idea of recognizing that we're going to have to start keeping Hilchot Tuma and Tara, and that's why, as he mentioned, so we're going to have fresh courses, and someone's going to have to go around to the various schools teaching the women Hilchot Tuma and Tara. But as part of this excitement, one has to recognize that it doesn't start there. It doesn't start with learning the halachos, that the Ezrat Hashem will be relevant, but it starts by recognizing what the source of the problem is. And we know that Chazal had instituted that we read Eicha every year to remind ourselves what the problem was, to remind ourselves that if we're still reading Eicha, then the problem still exists. So together with you this evening, I'd like to try to understand what Eicha is about. The call of Eicha, the keynote of Eicha, whom you see Chazal understand not merely as a Megillah, as a one long work, but rather, in Talmudic terminology, it's known as Sefer HaKinot. It's a compilation of various keynotes. And how many keynotes? We have the kina of Eicha Perek Aleph, another beginning again in Perek Bet, the triple acrostic of Perek Gimel, three keynote there, an additional one of Perek Dalet, and Chazal saw that even though Perek Hei may not be consistent with the alphabet structure, it is consistent with 22 psukim. Altogether, Chazal see Sheva keynote. And they explain, as you see in the first source, in Eicha Rabbah, V'yasachti liyasra etchem sheva al chatotechem. Hashem is going to punish us seven times for our sins. Atem avartim lefanai sheva avirot. You have transgressed seven sins before me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midah k'neged midah. Bo v'kiblu alechem sheva paraniot. I will punish you again and again. Atem avartim lefanai sheva avirot. And you not only transgress seven cardinal sins, Hare Yirmiyahu ban mekonein alechem kinot shehu sheva alfabetin echa. Yirmiyahu will compose seven laments. The laments are meant to serve as some means of rebuke, as some means of punishment. And not merely any rebuke, but sheva alfabetin. There are going to be acrostics, an acrostic after an acrostic. And Chazal indeed ask why. As we know, before one engages with the content of any text, one has to appreciate the overall structure. And the structure here is quite obvious. We have the structure of the Aleph Bet, and Chazal tell us why? To express the comprehensive nature of the sufferings, of the punishments. Lama nechtav kol ha-sefer hazeh kisidur chafbet otiyot sheba Aleph Bet. So initially, academic scholars also believed, well, we have numerous other mismorim in Tanakh that are written in this form. Tehillah le-David, kuf yutet. We have Eshet Chayil, Perek Lamed Aleph of Mishle. And Chazal initially thought, well, maybe this was used as a tutorial to teach young children how to write the alphabet. Sheyeh ha-sefer hazeh muchan v'ragil l'kol Yisrael b'fihem. Maybe it was taught this way so that people would learn to write and to memorize the letters of the alphabet. This way it's also a mnemonic device, easier to remember. But then you look at the tochen, you look at the contents of Eicha, and it's hard to imagine that Chazal, in fact, want us to memorize such a horrific, such a harsh sefer. And therefore, they add another explanation. Ba'u kol hadorot, v'chol ha'otiyot, v'chol ha'briot sheba'olam. It's as if all the letters, representing all the generations, representing all the creatures of this world, got up, elyonim v'tachtonim, v'amdu ha'hatzarot, v'am ha'ra'ot sheyu li'Yisrael. And they each came and testified as to the terrible, horrific punishments, to the pain and suffering that Am Yisrael have experienced throughout the generations. The Sefer of Eicha, the compilation of keynot, that Chazal later on will call a Megillah because we read it out loud in a public forum, the Sefer is meant to express at its core the sufferings of Am Yisrael throughout the generations, so that when Yirmiyahu composed the Sefer, and in a state of chaos, and these horrific sufferings now materializing before his eyes, he doesn't know how to express himself to the people. And that's why he chooses the structure of the alphabet to say, I don't know where to start. I have to express the comprehensive nature of these sufferings, and at the same time, I'm going to organize my thoughts. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. And one would think that perhaps this limits his expression. Yeshua, we find on the contrary, Echa Yashva Badad, Ha'ir Rabati Am. We hear that he doesn't feel confined by the letters nor the sounds of the Aleph. He'll actually try to allow them to flow, the Aleph and the Bet leading into the Gimel. But at the same time, it's interesting that with the beautiful poetic expression of Echa, we find that every kina expresses a different poignant emotion, and yet each one will begin with the painful cry of Echa. And as we know, when we read Echa, we hear the word, how? Echa yashva badad ha'ir rabat yam. How could the city that was so popular, that multitudes would flock to the city, how could it stand alone right now? And obviously, as we come and approach Sefer Dvarim, we recall that it's this parsha wherein the word Echa first appears. And therefore, employing the famous methodology of Nechama Leibowitz to explain, if you really want to understand a word in Tanakh, then go back to its original sources. See and study how it's used in its original context, and thereby attempt to extrapolate its meaning. And that's what we shall do now. What is Echa? Numerous times throughout Tanakh, we find the term Ech. Doesn't that mean the same thing? How? How could this have happened? Echa not only expresses with the kamate, a cry, Echa. And you hear the guttural sound so much more, but it's obviously coming to tell us and express a very particular emotion. What is the emotion of Echa? When Moshe cries out in this week's parsha, Echa esa levadi tarchachem umasechem verivchem. How can I carry? He doesn't just mean, how can I bear this burden of responsibility of leadership? What is the term that he adds here that seemingly is redundant? Echa esa levadi. He's talking in the singular. Echa esa etarchachem masechem would have made perfect sense. But he adds levadi. I'd like to argue that echa is a cry of loneliness, is a cry of abandonment. I'm all alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the one that Am Yisrael are becoming mutinous against. I'm the one that they're rebelling against. I'm the one who has to carry them throughout these years of the Midbar, and I'm the one who's left on the Transjordan alone to die. This is a cry of anguish. As we continue in Sefer Dvarim, we find the word again. Ki tomar bilvavcha rabim hagoyim ha'ela mimeni. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, you may ask, Echa uchal harishem. I as Am Yisrael, the minority, we're alone. We are so bereft of people of physical strength. How are we going to go ahead and conquer them? They're the many, they're the populace, they're the mainstream. We're alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you expect of us? And obviously Hashem will grant them chizuk. But then we hear, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu will warn them of the various influences to which they're going to be susceptible, Ki achwit Hashem alokecha tagoyim asher taba shama lareshet otam mipanecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does wipe out these nations before you, v'yarashta otam v'yashavta ba'artzam, Hishamer lecha, beware, pentin akesh achareihem acharei hishabdam mipanecha, ofentid rosh lelohehem leimor, Echa yavdu hagoyim ha'ele et elohehem. How are they worshiping? They have all these different means of worship. I, the minority, I would like to do as they. I want to adopt some of their practices of worshiping of gods. And similarly in Dvarim Perek Yudchet, V'chi tomar b'vavcha Echa neidat ha'davar asher lo dibro Hashem. When a Navi comes and attempts in Parshat Shoftim to dissuade, to distort the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one may ask, well, I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to be the only one following this Navi. Echa is the cry. In Dvarim Perek Lamed Bet, Echa yirdof v'chad elef in shirat ha'azinu. Guess what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to flip the sides and one will be able to pursue 1,000 of you. And even though there are 1,000 of you, you're going to be left alone. You're going to be vulnerable. Echa! That cry, that anguish of abandonment. And Yeshayahu, as we approach this Shabbat Chazon, the vision of Yeshayahu, how does he want to foretell the fall of Am Yisrael? Echa haitalizona kirya nemana. You were a city of greatness. You were the bastion to all the nations around you. And now you're a zonah. Now you're not merely a prostitute. You are the most bereft of society. You are on the periphery of society. You are alone. What happened to you, Yerushalayim? And it wasn't merely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished you, but you decided to push yourself to the side. You decided to leave the spotlight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yirmiyahu, therefore, we use the same term that he's already mentioned numerous times, the same term that he'll then continue to employ in Echa, Echa Tomru Chachamim Anachnu, V'Torat Hashem Itanu. How can you say that you are the only Chachamim? It's so clear. Look at the current events before you. Look at the status quo. What, you think you're the only Chachamim who can interpret the times and say everything is going to be fine and this is just a temporary political setback that you're experiencing? Echa. You're all alone. You're the minority. Echa tomu giborim manachnu. Echa nishvar mateoz makil tifara. We were once a very strong staff of leadership. We were once a source of glory. And now echa. And now we're alone. And perhaps to show how this is a term that's consciously employed in a very poetic sense, we turn to the Shir HaShirim, to the poem of all poems, where we find that the Ra'aya, who feels already marginalized by her brothers, marginalized by Benot Yerushalayim, what does she ask of her lover? She asks, Hagita Lisha Vanafshi, please tell me, my lover, Echa Tireh, how shall I graze? Echa Tarbitz B'Tzaharayim, where shall I go and walk midday? Shelama Ehiye Ka'otziya, because I don't want to look like a notia. I don't want to look like the shawl that's worn by prostitutes, by those that have been marginalized by society. I don't want to look as if I'm alone. I don't want to look as if I'm walking solo, and that's very dangerous for a woman. Echa! I'm alone. I'm one who's meant to seek you out amongst all the shepherds of the desert. So show me. Echa! I don't want to be a notia. I don't want to be alone. Where can I meet you? And the Dod answers with a beautiful response as he says, Im lo tedilach hayafa benashim, you don't want to be alone as you look for me? Si'ilach bekvei hatzon. So go out with your own flock. You don't have to be alone. Uri et gediotayach al mishkanot haro'im. Go with your flock. Look like a shepherdess who is not alone. Echa is the cry, is the anguish of abandonment. Echa yashva badar ha'ir rabati am. This is the cry of the Navi who now decides not to write based on any vision of prophecy, but this is found in Ketuvim. This is his own emotional expression. And he decides to use this term so that we'll feel that sense of loneliness, that sense of abandonment. He wants us every year to sit on the floor. And despite the beautiful expression and the acrostic form, each kina will begin the same way. Do you feel lonely enough? Are you alone right now? Feel that loneliness. And note then how he begins in the first kina as we read it together. Echa yashva badar ha'ira batiyan, hayta kalmana, rabati bagoyim, sarati bamdinot, hayta lamas. You were once so great and now you're a burden. Bachotif kebalayla v'dimata alachya, the mekonen, the lamenter, whom Chazal attributed as Yirmiyahu, an eyewitness to the Korban, describes for us Yerushalayim in third person so that we can distance ourselves somewhat as we take a look at this glorified city that is now destitute, that is now alone and in a state of bereavement. Do you see her tears on her cheeks? En la menachem. You want to know how alone she is? She's so alone that she's sitting Shiva right now and no one is coming to pay her a shiva call. That's echa. That's loneliness. That's abandonment. Kore'eha bagduba. Initially, she sees that they're her friends, her own friends, which Chazal interpret here, and the Parshanim indeed corroborate, yes, these are the other nations that she thought were her allies. These are nations like Mitzrayim, who promised that they would help her with military support. But they're not there. Hayula lo oivin. They turn their backs against her. Galta Yehuda mi oni. Umeirov avoda hi yashva vagoyim lo matza manoach. without any reprieve now. So as the real enemies came, and they conquered her, as she was running away from one siege to the next, she remains alone, abandoned by those that she expected to find refuge there. Can you picture this? Can you picture Shaar Yafo? Even though this is certainly anachronistic. Picture the Solomon Gates that have now been abandoned. Picture Shaare Chulda, the wide steps leading from the southern side of Har HaBayit, with throngs of people coming to celebrate one of the regalim, and now they're empty. Kohanen Anachim, Betuloteha Nugot Vihi Marla. She is so embittered. Pasuk Zayin, Zachra Yerushalayim Yimei Onya Umerudeha Komachmadeha Asher Hayum Yimei Kedem Benful Amah Biyatzar Ve'el Ozerla. It's one thing to be captured, it's another to be attacked, but then to have no one help her thereafter, to have no one help with the post-traumatic stress of destruction. Ra'u Hatzarim, and on the contrary, her enemies that destroyed her saw her, and then Tzachaku, they laughed at her. Can you imagine that chok al mishpataha? Chayt chata Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not embarrassed to say, we know exactly why this happened. Yerushalayim has sinned al kein lenida hayata. And here we find an added element of loneliness. She's not just lonely and abandoned by her allies, by her friends, but nida, as you know, is a term indeed of tum'ah, of limitation from going to the mikdash. The nida is one who can't just not go to the mikdash, but she's also limited in the loving physical relationship with her spouse. And here the Navi wants to express the idea of not just being abandoned by others around her, not just being abandoned by her allies, by those political friends turned foes, but being abandoned by her own lover, being abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol mechadai ziluha. All those who once respected her now mock her because her own husband, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has abandoned her. Ki ra'u ervata. Not only is she a nida, but in the state of nida, people saw her nakedness. Gam hina nachava tasha v'chor. And this is too much for her. She now will retreat into her greater solitude. She now will become more introvert than ever. As her tum'ah is going to ripen, lo zachra acharita v'teret pla'im, ein menachem la. And there is no one coming to pay her a shiva call. Echa ein menachem la. That's what he wants to express. Yerushalayim is not only destroyed, she's alone, she's abandoned by everyone, including HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why now, in the middle of this monologue in the third person, you find a break. Re'ei Hashem Etzoni, the third person has been transformed to the first person. As if Yerushalayim has been waiting behind the curtain, wanting to speak in first person, she's been waiting quite patiently. As the narrator is slowly introducing her to the audience, and then she can't help it. When she hears already for the second time, Ein Menachem, that's too much. Re'ei Hashem, Hashem, at least you look at me. You don't abandon me. Ki higdil oyev, because it's too much. My enemy has harassed me far beyond the norm. But then, it seems that she retreats behind the curtain. As the narrator, as the mekonein, the lamenter continues, Yado parasar akol machamadeha, kirata goyim ba'u mikdasha asher tivita lo yavohu b'kahalach. Not only is the mikdash going to be open to different nations who weren't allowed to come there, but even to the most intimate of places, kol aman enachim mevakshim lachem natsnu machamadehem ba'ochel lahashiv nefesh. They have nothing, no food. They have given already of all their monies for food. And now we return to the first person. Re'ei Hashem v'habita ki hayiti zolila. As if Yerushalayim now will take over in first person. As if she has to compose herself and say, now I'm ready to speak. I will not burst forth anymore. I want to share with you what I'm feeling. And please remember that these are beautiful poetics described here by the Mishorer, by the poet, by the lamenter. He wants to give you a first-hand account in first person. Try to picture Yerushalayim. She's speaking before you. And she wants to give you a sense of loneliness, of what it means to be abandoned. So you have to look at her standing on the stage in her tattered concentration camp uniform and picture her all alone. Lo aleichem kol ovri derech. She begins by saying, I hope that this never happens to you, all the passers-by. Habitu ru'u em yesh machov k'machovi. Has anyone experienced my pain? And I don't just mean the destruction. I don't just mean the physical pain. I mean the psychological, emotional abandonment. Has anyone had this? Asher hoga Hashem b'yom charonapo. Experienced such wrath of God. As he sent down esh ba'atmotai v'yirdena paras reshet l'raglai hashivan yachor. As if entrapped by a net. Pasuk tetzayim. Al ele ani bochia. Can't you picture me crying, she says. For this I cry. You want to know what I cry for? I see myself, and I know that I'm emaciated. I know that I've been destroyed. I know, even as you'll see, that I've sinned. But you want to know why I cry? Eini, eini yordamayim ki rachak mimeni menachem. If you don't get that with the word echa, then I'll make it clear 5 times in this kina. The Mishorer will tell us that Yerushalayim is screaming, Ein Menachem. I'm sitting here destitute, and no one's coming to comfort me. I don't have anyone to console me. No one to restore my nefesh. Hayu banai shomimin, I've lost my children, Kigavar Oyev. I notice a strange pasuk. In the midst of this first-person monologue, we find Pasuk Yitzayin, the restoration of the third person, but for only one pasuk, as if the narrator wants to get his one line back. But no, it's simply that Yerushalayim, choked up with tears, cannot articulate the next pasuk. And therefore, the lamenter, the third person narrator, has to tell us, Persat Zion Biyadeha, can't you see Yerushalayim? Her hands are outstretched. She's seeking for someone simply to hold her hand. She wants someone just to shake her hand and to say, Yerushalayim, it's going to be okay. Yerushalayim, you will be rebuilt. Yerushalayim, nachamu nachami, you'll be comforted. But no one's telling her that. Her hands are outstretched. Ein menachem la. No one's touching her. Her hands are out there begging for some consolation. Can you imagine this anguish of abandonment? Tziva Hashem liyakov svivav tzarav. Haita Yerushalayim nida b'nehem. These are words that Yerushalayim can't express in the first person because they're too horrific. The third person narrator can say, can't you see she's become a nida? She's been abandoned by her lover. She's been abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She's in a state of tumah. She's limited in her relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yerushalayim can't say that about herself. She can express guilt, but she can't express that shame. She can't say, yes, I'm a nida, that's too embarrassing. And right now, choked up with tears, without anyone holding on to her hands, without any sense of consolation, it's someone else who has to say it for her. And then she returns, Sadiku Hashem ki pihu mariti, I understand why I'm alone. I'm the one who was iniquitous towards God. Shimuna kol hamim, Uru'u machovi, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you see what I'm going through and you're not helping me. Karati l'mahavai, I called out to my lovers. I called out to those other gods. I called out to my allies. I called out to those who by certain terms of engagement, by the League of Nations, people should come and they should help me, she says. Hema rimuni. But instead, they tricked me. Kohan nayus kenai ba'ir gavo. We were left alone to die within. If only for a morsel of bread to keep themselves alive. Re'e Hashem kitzarli. Me'ay chamamaru. Ne'pach libi b'kirbi. Ki maro mariti. Mi'chut sheklachere b'bayet kamavet. Look at the harassment. Look at the sword. Look at the death. Shamu ki menachani. And one last time, ein menachem li. It's just too harsh. And I'm completely abandoned. No one is comforting me. On the contrary, When they hear what I've experienced, and she finally is willing to call them no longer passers-by, certainly no longer lovers, they're my enemies, all right. They saw what I've experienced, and instead of offering any semblance of support, sasu, they were happy. Kiata asita, you know why, God? Because they saw that it was you who perpetrated these punishments. They saw that I was abandoned by you. Hey, beta yom karata v'yu kamoni. So you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you please do this to them as well? And this cry here of tavoku ra'atam lefanecha v'ole lamu, the cry for vengeance, is not a cry of desiring the same atrocities be perpetrated against others, and as much as a cry for justice. You've completely abandoned me, Hashem. I need some level of consolation, if not emotional support, then at least justice. And it's so clear that what the Mishorer, what this poet is trying to attempt to induce in his audience, is to try to get them, like Yerushalayim, to cry. Please shed a tear. Can you feel a sense of abandonment? Can you feel the sense of loneliness? Do you understand what it was like for Yerushalayim then and Yerushalayim now? And obviously he's speaking about the residents of Yerushalayim, to have been completely left alone. Do you know what it means in Menachem? Well, perhaps we don't. Anyone who, lo aleinu, has suffered the loss of a loved one and who has sat Shiva knows what it's like to sit in the Shiva house and to have people come and console, to have people come and pay a Shiva call. And here we see that if one isn't paying a Shiva call, then all that what's left for the person to do is to cry. And this is what Yerushalayim feels. But an interesting halakha that we find, if you look on page 4, Chazal tell us in Masechet Tuvot Tanu Rabbanan, Mevatlim Talmud Torah, Lo Tzat HaMet, which Chazal understand not only as accompanying the Met to the Levaya, but taking care of Kvod HaMet, and that includes also Lenachem Et Ha'Evilim, to go and to console those that are sitting Shiva, those that are mourning, Olachnasat Kala, Amru Alav Rabbi Yehuda Barabi Elai, Shehayam Mevatel Talmud Torah, Lo Tzat HaMet, Olachnasat Kala. We find that the two mitzvot for which one has to drop everything, including Talmud Torah, are Hotza'at HaMet, including Nichum Avilim, and Hachnasat Kala. And perhaps if we understand maybe the more positive of the two, we can appreciate the negative as well. What does it mean that I have to drop everything? I'm in the middle of a shir, but I hear that there's already, or I know, Baruch Hashem, already now, this is the time that one receives all the post-Tisha B'Av wedding invitations. And sure enough, there are some weddings that we have to ask ourselves, is it worth, again, the schlep from camp, not? Then we're reminded of this halacha, of course, you drop everything. It can take hours, but you go, and even though you know that you're one of 852 guests, you go. And you have to be, according to the halacha, you have to be there at that wedding, l'samech, atah v'kalah. And I'm sure many of you have been at chasanas where you see rabbanim even going to the kala side and dancing a full butt for a few steps in front of the kala to be able to say this mitzvah, hachnasat kala, asimchat kala. And at times I wonder, does it really make a difference? Again, does the kala even remember me? And I may not even be able to get into that inner circle. Again, especially no high heels here. And again, to push my way to be mekayim this mitzvah. And I may hurt other people's feelings. Is the kala even going to know? Why does the halacha say that, yes, you have to go to that wedding? Because every person who is at that wedding, especially on the kala side, is there fulfilling the mitzvah of telling her, we are here for you. We know that you're nervous, and every kala, no matter how in love with her chatan she is nervous. Is this the right guy? Is this the best chasan out there? Is this the best yeshiva bachur? Is this the boy that's really right for me? And every person who comes to dance with her, what are they saying? We confirm your choice. Yes, your kala. We're happy with your happiness. We, society, every member of society, are coming to confirm your choice. This confirmation is the greatest support that truly enhances her simcha. Everyone who dances with this kala is telling her, you have a right to be happy. You have a reason to be happy. You should be happy because you're not alone in this decision. We're here with you. We're corroborating this for you. We want you to know that we agree with your choice. And so too, you drop everything to go pay a shivakol. Because as we know, described both in halacha and very poignantly in a psychological way by Rav Soloveitchik, who explains that when a person experiences the death of a loved one, and all the more so sees that person being restored to the ground, knowing that the person is going to decompose, that person who was so much a part of your life, says one feels like that afar and ifer. One feels as if one can't go on living in this world of humanity. And therefore everyone stops what they do and they come to pay a shivakol. And as you know, what's the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim? You just go. You don't even have to say anything. You just sit in front of the avel 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and then ask, go pick up your child from his carpool. Go supermarket shopping, that's fine. Because the reason you're there sitting in front of that avel is to tell that avel, we're part of society. We're part of the continuum of society. We're going shopping now. But we want you to know that we are here to confirm that you're part of our society. No, you are not part of that, did. We understand that you feel that way now. And we understand that you miss that person who's died. But we are here to console you, to comfort you, to tell you that next week, we're shifting carpools. Next week, you're going to be cooking for me. Next week, you're going to be part of regular society again. That you're still part of us. So imagine that avel that sits there, and there's no one knocking on his door. There's no one coming to sit in front of him, even with a closed mouth. Then that person sits there not merely wallowing in sadness, but feeling abandoned. Abandoned by life, with no sense of hope for the future, with no sense of rejuvenation, with no reason to go on because society has abandoned him, life has abandoned him. He feels not merely wallowed in depression, but in a state of solitude, cut off from life, cut off from vibrant society, cut off from continuity. And as such, we find that that's why one has to go and confirm and show as part of society in both cases that you continue to go on in life. So if one feels a state of Eicha, Ein Menachem, what Yerushalayim is saying is there is no hope. There's no one holding my hand. And therefore the Parshanim very harshly express this term when she says she's a Nida. Ibn Ezra explains, Lila'ad, people are mocking her. But Nida is a Tuma state. Nida is a technically divinely mandated state of her physiological state. And yet, no, Kamo Manod Rosh, as one looks and is going to nod one's head in distress, Vuhu Migzerat Na Vinad. The Nida means that she's abandoned. She has no place. There's no continuity for her. Ein Menachem, she says together with the phrase, Lenida Hayata. She's a Nida. She's been abandoned. No one is picking her face up to look into her eyes and to tell her that it's okay. That she may be suffering now, but in a few years from now, she'll be rebuilt. No. There's no hope. Rashi expresses similarly as he quotes from Sefer Iyov, Umitevel Yeniduhu. You've been cast away from the world. Shehi Menudami Maga Kol Adam. That Nida tells us that she's a castaway. That she's alone and literally cast away from society, cast away from the world, cast away from any sense of continuity. And therefore, Rashi says, when you continue with these psukim and you hear in the third person, Persat Zion Biadama, her hands are outstretched, she'll spread them. She's begging you, hold her hand. Give her a sense of support. Ein Menachem, she says. What is she really asking? Peiras yadav bikirbo kadam hamolich yadav molicham umiviyam umitzta'er bahem. Because generally, when one stretches out his hand, he's asking for help. And what does any civil member of society do? They grab on and they lead the person. And they hold that person's hand. And they say, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through this. It's going to be fine. Davar acher persat zion lashon shvira. That maybe she's just breaking apart here. Uporis ein lahem lekabel lenachamo almet. Because there's no one consoling her as one would console one for the dead. Kach haveiro menachem. And lastly, on the last line, lenida lerichuk lavuz. She describes herself as abandoned. No one is holding her hand to give her a bit of strength. No ounce of consolation. On the contrary, she's become a nida. She's become an outcast. She's become entirely mocked. And now we understand this cry of Eicha. The first kina introduces to us what we're meant to feel on the night of Tisha B'Av. We're meant to feel completely ostracized from society. We're meant to feel abandoned by society, and certainly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Chazal also explained, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Eicha! Echa esa levadi, you're all alone. Yes, you are. The gematria of Echa is lamed vav. Keneged lamed vav kritot shenitchayvu minyan Echa. The 36 forms of karet. She's completely cut off. Now you know what it feels like as you sit on the floor on the night of Tisha B'Av. The mekonein wants to make sure that you cry. But how are you going to cry? Only if you can scream Echa. Only if you can feel abandoned. Only if you can somehow relate to this personification of Yerushalayim and understand that she's all alone. Understand she's been abandoned by others and there's no hope. No hope from society. No hope from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to ask why. Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu so harsh? Isn't that what the Mekonein asks? Chay Chata Yerushalayim, I sinned. But have you ever seen such wrath? And therefore the Mekonein will continue in Kina Bet. If you weren't able to cry and to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tears, if you weren't able to shed a tear of anguish for being abandoned in Kina Aleph, then you know what? Perek Bet will continue with horrific accusations towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tremendous anger that's going to be vented towards God. God, why? Why the children? Why did you have mothers eat their children? That's intolerable. And we have to ask why. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandon us like this? Why didn't he allow anyone to help us? Give us a little financial support. Give us a little consolation, a little bit of psychological boost post the Chorban. Nothing. Perhaps Yeshayahu tells us, in this week's Haftorah, what we read, you know why? Eicha haita lizona. You want to know how you became alone? You want to know how you were completely ostracized from society? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually placed you as a very popular city, as a reliable city, as a city where justice was supposed to reign, v'atam meratzchim. You abandoned one another. You murdered one another. And the Navi continues to elaborate on the atrocities within society. Hashem abandoned you. Hashem allowed society to abandon you because you abandoned society, ben adam l'chaveiro. Because you oppressed the masses in society, you didn't take care of the yatim and the almana, of those that felt abandoned by you. You didn't support them. And perhaps the greatest, and we know, the most infamous story that Chazal tell us in Masechet Gittin with regard to the agadot of the Chorban, Akamsa uvar kamsa haruv Yerushalayim. You want to know why Yerushalayim was destroyed? You want to know why Yerushalayim ended up in the state of abandonment that we just described? Because of kamsa and var kamsa. And we know that Chazal know how to tell their tales very well, to express much more than a story, but the message behind it. And this horrific story of kamsa and var kamsa, wherein kamsa comes, Anna, even though he's not invited, this is a su'uda of the greatest aristocrats of society. All of the no-debis in Yerushalayim are there. All the noblemen are there. This is society at its greatest. The leaders of society, the talmidei chachamim of society, are at this party. And we know that Kamsa asks the host, he says, I'll pay you even, yahavni lecha, dmei palga desuda taich. I'll pay you half of the damim, half of the money of the su'uda, so you won't embarrass me and won't kick me out of the door. Amar lei, he says to him first, lo, no, get out. Amar lei, yahavni lach dmei chula su'uda techa. I will pay for this entire su'uda. Just don't leave leave me alone. Don't kick me out of the door in front of everyone. Amar lelo, nakti biyade. He took him by his hand. Ukimna ve'ake. He threw him out. Amar ohil. And the continuation then of this agada, it wasn't just between the host here and Kamsa, but rather v'havu yatve rabbanan v'lo machube. The rabbanan, the noblemen of society, the representatives of society were there at this seuda, and they didn't protest. They didn't care about abandoning Kamsa. They didn't care about one being left on the street embarrassed. And perhaps that's what we're supposed to feel on Rosh Hashanah. We're supposed to feel completely abandoned by others, ben adam l'chaveru, but also ben adam l'makom. And we're supposed to recognize that we feel the sense of loneliness to sensitize us, to remember how we allowed others to feel this way, how we were insensitive to them, how we abandoned others, so now you feel like that. Feel like that avel who has no one visiting him. And maybe, maybe you can begin to work on yourselves. Maybe you can cry. Maybe you can turn to God in anger. Then comes Kina Gimel, where Yirmiyahu says, okay, this isn't working. Ani HaGever. You know what? Don't look at Yerushalayim. She's an inanimate city. Look at me. I'm a microcosm of the Chorban. If you can look at me and recognize, as he calls out in Kina Gimel, Nach Basa Drachino V'Nach Kora V'Nach Shuva El Hashem. So let's understand and internalize the message of Tisha B'Av. Let's feel that abandonment. And with that sense of the rift that you feel between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's do tshuva. Let's not feel abandoned anymore. So pay attention to others in society and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But nothing happens after Perek Gimel. And therefore it continues in Perek Dalet. Okay, still not working? You're not working on tshuva. You're not initiating a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't want to bridge yourself with the rest of society. You don't want to end the state of anguish, the state of abandonment. Okay, so let's try Perek Dalet, be angry again. But we know that that doesn't work either. And finally in Perek Hei, the Mekonein finally says, I give up on society. He no longer addresses Am Yisrael. He no longer addresses his own audience of 586 BCE. But sadly to tell, if we don't respond by Perek Dalet, if we don't feel that alone by Perek Dalet, that we can return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and initiate, then sadly said, the Mekonein says, I'm giving up. And that's why Perek Hei no longer follows the exact same acrostic Aleph Bet, because you're supposed to note and be sensitive to the aberration. He's no longer turning to you. He's giving up on you. And instead, Zechor Hashem. He's turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, okay, God, you've abandoned us because we abandoned you. So now, Hashem, recognize that we're not returning to you. That somehow, throughout four prakim, four keynotes of Echa, four times that I tried to scream out that we're alone, I guess it's not working. People don't feel alone. They don't feel abandoned. Because if they really did, then they would return to you. So you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm begging you. Zachor Hashem mehayalanu, habitu re'e et charpatenu. You see our state. Nachalatinu nehebcha lezarim, batenu lenachrim. See how we're alone. See how our identity has been lost. We're no longer an autonomous people. Yitomim hayinu, we've been abandoned as orphans. Ve'en av, imotenu kalmanot, we have no father. Our mothers are widows. Meimenu bekesef shatinu, etzenu b'mechir yavo'u. Look, we know that we're no longer a people, a unified people. We have no identity as society. We've been abandoned. But I was hoping, says the Mekonein, that we would recognize that and we would do something. But Hashem, we are so distraught that look, we haven't been doing anything. Which means that we're not going to initiate the process of tshuva that's told to us in Devarim Perek Lamed. If we want to reunite ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what must we do? Vashivota el levavacha. We have to initiate this process. We have to return to our hearts. We have to undergo introspection. We have to recognize that we've been abandoned by you and by the rest of society, and we have to work on ourselves as people, ben adam l'chaveru, and certainly ben adam l'makom. V'shavtat Hashem elokecha. It's our responsibility to bridge that rift that we created. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we don't get the message, then I beg of you, says Yirmiyahu, Lama lanetzach tishkachenu ta'azvenu la'orech yamim. If we don't do anything, then we're going to be abandoned forever. So Hashivenu Hashem Melecha Venashuva. Then Hashem, we beg of you, can you reverse the process of tshuva? We know that we're supposed to be the ones to initiate. But we are so forlorn. We are so lost. We've been so abandoned that we can't pick ourselves up and regain our identity. So we beg you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you return yourself to us. You reunite yourself with us because apparently it's too hard for us to initiate and to bridge that rift. But Chazal apparently don't like this ending. This is a de facto ending. This is B'dievid. The B'dievid sense with which, unfortunately, we've ended too many Leilei Tisha B'Av. A sense where perhaps we're depressed for the moment, but we don't internalize the loneliness so much that we feel so bereft of relationships with others. And apparently, we don't feel that loss sufficiently of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we decide not to respond. And we walk away instead singing very slowly, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva. Don't worry, one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return to us. We'll wallow in our sadness until HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something. But Chazal didn't like this approach. And therefore, they composed in various midrashim, particularly Midrashei Echa, a different approach entirely. No, don't wallow in sadness. Don't end it. And don't end in Perakeh. Don't leave, please, with Hashivenu Hashem Elecha. Don't leave so sad and so abandoned that you've given up all hope. Instead, empower yourselves. And notice then how Chazal are going to build off of the same sense of loneliness described in Kina Aleph. Ki rachak mimeni menachem. That's the point. We're bereft. We're alone. We're meant to feel this anguish of abandonment. So Chazal say, excellent. Don't wait till Perakeh. Don't wait to be so sad that you're going to remain passive. Because if you do, then don't worry. You'll get to Shabbat Nachamu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Ani Menachamecha. On one hand, yes, what Yirmiyahu said was right. I will console you. One day, Yishayahu Perek Mem, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, be consoled, be comforted. How did Chazal understand this, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami? You will be consoled. I'll take care of it. You can remain passive. You'll be sad, you'll be depressed until I do something, okay. But notice Chazal will change this around. Davar Acher. Maybe we shouldn't read it as Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. You're going to be okay, Am Yisrael. Yes, I've left you alone. I've abandoned you. You deserve it. But one day I will return to you. Chazal instead say, Lemi tzrichim lenachem. Wait a second. Can we re-examine this? Who's supposed to be comforted? Hashem says, you're sad? You're the sad ones? You're the ones who feel all alone? Lemi tzrichim lenachem li ola. Who needs consolation? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me or her? Yerushalayim needs to be consoled. She is the one who bears responsibility. Lemi shemeta ishto, lemi menachamim. If one's wife dies, who do you console? You console the dead, the deceased wife? The one who just died on someone? Or do you console the husband? Lo lebaal. You're not going to console the one who's still alive? Kach nimshala tzion lemeta. Tzion has died. Tzion has been punished. Shneamar b'machshechim hoshivani kimtei olam. Lo li tzrichim lenachem. Hashem says, wait. Take this over. We're not going to read this as nachamu, nachamu. Rather, nachamu ni. Nachamu ni. I need the consolation. I've been abandoned. I've been left alone. Lama ha-davar domet. Lami shenashvu shnei banav v'chayav. So too, someone lost his children. Lami menachamim lo lavihim. We're not going to console the father. Kach banai yitza'uni ve'enam. Malchut Yehuda, Malchut Yisrael have both been taken away from me because they're the ones who created the rift. They hurt me, says Hashem. Console me. Lama ha-davar domeh lemi shesarfu et beito. They burned down my house, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who should be consoled? I should be consoled, the Baal HaBayit. Lama ha-davar domeh lemi shenektatz karmo. Someone's vineyard was destroyed. Lemi menachamim lo lebal hakerim. You're not going to console the owner of the vineyard? I'm the owner of the vineyard, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are my beautiful Kerem. Mi tzarich li nachem lo ani? Havei nachamu, nachamu ami. Please reread it, say Chazal as nachamu ni. Nachamu ni ami. I need consolation. Console me. Hashem says, you're right. You're supposed to feel alone. You are supposed to feel alone. And you're supposed to feel that no one is consoling you because you didn't console others. You didn't seek a relationship with others. And you didn't seek a relationship with me, says Hashem. You've abandoned me. And that's why I've abandoned you. So how are we going to reconcile? How are we going to reunite? You can opt for the Dieved option of Perakei Avicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. One day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reunite with us. We'll reverse the process of tshuva. Or Hashem says, I may not hold your hand right now, but you can hold mine. You can do something. My hand is also outstretched to you. I need the nechama. I feel the anguish of abandonment, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're the ones who abandoned me by abandoning one another as well. So you know what? You comfort me. Nachamuni, nachamuni. Show me what it means to take care of other members in society. Show me that you understand what Yerushalayim is as an ir shechubra layachtav. Ir sheosa kol Yisrael chaverim. Comfort me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Show me that you can reunite yourselves with me. Hold my hands. Hold each other's hand. Don't read Perek Aleph so forlorn that all you can do is cry. Internalize what it means to feel alone and recognize, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I feel alone. I miss you, says Hashem. And I miss you so much that I will take anything, any act of chesed, any tefillah from you. Just show me that you want to bridge that gap. Show me that you're willing to hold my hand. Show me that you're willing lahashiv nafshi. The Midrash continues, like a ro'eh that lost his son, you have to comfort the shepherd. Ukshacharav Beit HaMikdash, al chomotayich Yerushalayim hefkadati shomrim. I left shomrim to watch what was going on in Yerushalayim. You can read it, and you can be consoled, and you can decide this Tisha B'Av that you're going to sit on the floor and you're going to cry. But Chazal instituted more than that. Chazal say, you know, really feel what it means to be abandoned. Act like an avel, but don't accept any nechama. Al tidrashu shalom el reyehu b'tisha b'av. You walk around like an avel, but already at the suda hamafseket, you can't even join in the zimun. Everyone eats alone. Feel what it means to be abandoned by the people that you just ate with yesterday. Your family members. One's eating on one side of the house, one's eating on the other side of the house. You're not talking to each other. Feel alone. Feel what it must be like to wallow in sadness alone. Not to have any hope for the future. Walk around. Tina, on Tisha B'Av. Even though there are probably better things to do. But if you do, don't greet anyone and don't let anyone greet you. And if they do greet you, don't answer them. Walk around, not merely as an avel, whom we encourage people to talk to. Rather, feel the sense of being abandoned. Don't let people talk to you. Feel what it's like for Yerushalayim not to have any menachim, not to have anyone to console her. Feel what it's like for people in society not to have someone smile at them when they pass them on the street. For one day, feel abandoned. And unfortunately, the Mekonein says, I want that abandonment to encourage you. Nachbasad Racheinu v'nachkora. Please, let that abandonment change you. Let that feeling of solitude sensitize you to so many members of society who must feel so alone. Let it sensitize you to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu must feel like without his bayit, without his kerem, without his flock, bereaving for his wife. And perhaps then, we won't reach Perakeh. We won't have to wait in a passive manner for Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. But maybe we can initiate the tshuva. Maybe instead of just hearing Shabbat Nachamu, 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 Ami, Am Yisrael, you'll be comforted, you'll be consoled. Instead of our Shabbat Smirot being a little louder, one day, one day, Yerushalayim will be on autonomous, will be a united city again. Maybe it's time for us to hear Nachamuni, Nachamuni. May this Tisha B'Av sensitize us. May it allow us to cry out in a way unprecedented that we're alone. When we cry out Echa, and when we experience the Avilut on Tisha B'Av, may we just for one day feel like that Avil who has no one to pay him a Shiva call. And maybe then we'll be able to look around us and firstly unite with others and then feel that sense of abandonment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And instead of Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, instead of that, Nachbasad Rachinu V'Nachkora V'Nashuva El Hashem, and both we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed be consoled.
I'd like to thank the Shani and Rabbi Targan for making our night much more meaningful. Thank you very much. And we're going to have Mara for Rosh Chodesh in about 3 minutes. So I might get to that talk about 9:40.
That's what I'm coming back. You didn't worry about it. I'm going to